Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels, Families and Recovery. My name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hello.
We want to invite you to check out City of Angels at their website, cityofangels.com. You got their radio programs and broadcast at coaradio.com. Check Kathy and I out on Facebook. Just Families and Recovery, and you can find us on Facebook. We'd love you to like us. We'd love you to like us. That's an interesting one. You can email Kathy and I at Kathy with a C, Kathy and Bill at cityofangelsnj.org. Tonight, our show's an interesting show. It's about emotions / feelings. And I'm feeling a little concerned or scared.
You're scared? How come you're scared, honey?
Well, that it may not go well.
Oh.
How are you feeling?
I'm really good. This is a good topic, you know, because we all have different things that triggers our feelings and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to see how that goes
we're
tonight.
We're going to name
right?
it I'm how you feeling.
I'm not really scared. I'm just...
How you feeling, right?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm feeling.
How you feeling.
Yeah, I think a lot of us don't know how we're feeling.
No.
Well, tonight's outline is going to be... We're going to have Kathy do an opening charge. And then we're going to do a section on understanding our emotions and feelings. We're going to talk about another section will be how we deal with those. What are some common patterns that we do that we deal with our emotions? We'll have, of course, our spiritual section, and Kathy has that tonight. And then we'll go on to the next section, which is, okay, you know, how we deal with our emotions, but how do we identify our emotions? Mm-hmm. What do we do with them once we identify them? Because the final section will be, well, how do we resolve our emotions or balance our emotions, release these emotions that sometimes just capture us and affect the way we act?
Yeah, because some of our emotions need a physical, you know, an outlet.
Right.
Physical outlet. So we're going to talk about that.
And how we do all of that.
Yeah.
So, Kath, why don't you start us with an opening charge?
Okay. I'm going to read something from The Language of Letting Go, and it's November 19th, and it says, accepting our feelings. Why do we struggle so with our feelings? Why do we work so hard to deny our emotions, especially concerning other people? They are only feelings. In the course of a day, we may deny we feel frustrated in reaction to someone who is selling us a service. We may deny that we feel frustrated, angry, or hurt in reaction to a friend. We may deny feelings of fear, anger towards our children. We may deny a whole range of feelings towards our spouse or the person with whom we're in a love relationship. We may deny feelings provoked by people we work for or by people who work for us. Sometimes the feelings are a direct reaction to others. Sometimes people trigger something deeper, an old sadness or frustration. Regardless of the source of our feelings, they are still our feelings. We own them. And acceptance is often all that is necessary to make them go away. We don't have to let our feelings control our behavior. We don't have to act on each feeling that passes through us. We do not need to indulge in inappropriate behavior. It does help to talk about our feelings with someone we trust. Sometimes we need to bring our feelings to the person who is triggering them. That can breed intimacy and closeness. But the most important person we need to tell is ourselves. If we allow our feelings to pass through us, accept them, and release them, we shall know what to do next. Today I will remember that feelings are an important part of my life. I will be open to my feelings in family life, in friendship, in love, and at work. I will feel my feelings without judging myself.
So I wonder what you're feeling right now as you're listening to this program. What are you feeling? Think about it for a second. What are you feeling? Nervous? Anxious? Angry? What brought you to this program? Something probably moved you to come listen to this program, right? You probably got some kind of issue going on because it's Families in Recovery dealing with work with families of addicts. So I could only imagine what emotions and feelings are behind you right now possibly affecting you.
Yeah, and it really helps to put a label on what we're feeling because it helps us get closer to resolving them and understanding them, which we'll tell you about in the show as we go along.
Why don't you start us with understanding our emotions?
So first we're going to define what emotions or feelings are. And they're a state of consciousness, so we're aware of them in some form. And they're joy, sorrow, fear, hate. And it's experienced in our body, in our mind, in our thoughts. Feelings are just there. Any feelings, like I said, a joy, sorrow, fear, hate, love.
Yeah, and these are complementary and different, distinguished from our mental, intellectual part of our being. We have that mind part that looks at facts, things, and the way we perceive and perception. And then we have the emotional component of ourselves.
And now that you mention that, as a matter of fact, our next show is going to be on thoughts. So we figured we'd split feelings and thoughts, and we're going to talk about feelings and thoughts, and our thoughts will be in our next show.
Right.
So, and actually, those feelings are also felt in our body. So sometimes when you feel things, you may have your heartbeat or respiration increase. You might find yourself crying or shaking. A way to describe one of our emotions is when you listen to a symphony, or you listen to music that uplifts you, or, you know, various things come up at different times when you're going through the day.
That could happen, and you, especially with music, it's easy because you actually listen to music to sometimes to actually change the way you feel.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so like you said, you go to a rock concert and you're going to be all kinds of hyped up and you're doing that, and that's your emotion. You're all like pumped. You can get more quiet music that brings you a little self-reflective. You may be a little melancholy.
Like last night we went to hear Jeremy Camp, and we had a spiritual, you know, response to that music. So
right. Different people define emotions in different ways. So some people may say emotions are different than feelings. But we don't want to do that here today. So we're just going to say emotions and feelings. These are the part of us that sensory perception part of ourselves where we feel certain things. So that's what we're going to do. John Mayer says this. Emotions have a physical aspect to them, as well as the psychological aspects. You got that in mental and physical. So emotions or feelings bridge the thoughts that associated with our actions. Mm-hmm. So you have this emotional part that is connected to our thoughts, connected to our actions. And so they affect different aspects of who we are as an individual. People may have many aspects of their emotions. You may have different degrees of emotion. The way we react to things will be different. Kathy and I react to things differently and so on.
Really?
I think so.
Oh.
She's just joking. Dr. Maurice Ellis says emotions are our warning system as to what is really going on around us. So emotions are telling us if I have to be afraid, right? Mm-hmm. Do I have to be afraid? I'm driving the car too fast. All of a sudden I feel fear. It's telling me something about my actions and my physical state of what I'm doing. I'm speeding. I could die here.
So we want to pay attention to them.
We do, because they're going to warn us. Yeah. Your anxiety and nervousness about your addict is an emotional response to a heightened sense that I could lose my addict.
Right.
So, you know, that's your warning system saying there's an emergency here. There's a crisis here. But we also understand that they could do a warning for us and tell us that. But what is the balance? Because it could also become the way we relate to those emotions could be extreme reactions to them, which would be unhealthy for us, because we're going to talk about that also. So what? Here's the point is making sure that we are led by more than our intellectual part. The emotions balance the intellectual out. Because look, if I'm solely in my head, then I'm kind of could be cold, calloused, indifferent.
Kind of like a robot.
Like a robot. So yeah. I'm just using my intellectual perception. And you meet certain people that are like that. They're just, matter of fact, here it is. And you say, wow, you don't have any feelings about that? Like you're so indifferent. So our emotions balance us out. And they help us to be led more than just with the mental aspect of that rigidity, you see. So emotions affect the way we think. And for instance, let me give you an example. If we're overwhelmed, things are just happening. My loved one is an addict, so therefore it's thrown us financially out of control. And I got the other child who's been neglected in my house or a loved one. And so there's all this crisis going around, which is affecting what? The way I work, because I can't focus all that well. My relationship's hurt because I'm not even connecting with my loved one on any kind of emotional level to be able to be even physical or sexual with them, forget it. That's all out the window. Everything is in a crisis. Some people become so extreme with this relationship between the emotions and their thinking, they shut down. Did you ever have that experience where you just can't function? I could only sit in a corner. Some people can't even get out of bed. Mm-hmm. They're just so depressed, so down, so right. Shut down.
Right.
And here's a little tip. If you are so overwhelmed with all the issues going on that you feel you have to shut down and so on, you need help.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if it's got to do with a lot of things piling up on you, somebody helping with the burden of those getting those things off you will help you feel a little better. All right? So anyway, so this emotions affect us physically. That's what we just said. We'll shut down physically just from our mental feeling overwhelmed. People who ignore, dismiss, or repress their emotions are just asking for physical illness.
Yeah.
You're just clamping it down inside. You're going to get sick from it, and it could affect you.
That's why it's important to pay attention to our
emotions.
Yes,
we have to pay attention to them. A lot of us don't. We have them, but we're not really aware of where they started from, where they came from, and how to resolve them.
Yeah.
Negative emotions such as fear, anxiety, negativity, frustration, these will all cause depression. They eventually could cause chemical reactions in your body, which are very unhealthy to your body. Whereas we know positive feelings, right, of happiness, contentment, love, and joy, these are positive aspects in our body and physically.
Yeah,
so,
and they release different chemicals that help us out.
Absolutely. So when it comes to all these feelings, Bill, what do we do with them then? Because you're right. I see what you're saying. What do we do with them? Well, first of all, you're in charge of your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
As many times as you'd like to say this, we say this, you make me feel.
That's correct. Yeah.
You make me feel bad.
You make me feel guilty.
Yeah, you make me feel guilty.
Yeah.
You know, that addict comes and that's what they do. They manipulate your emotions.
But
if you love me.
Right.
Oh, you don't love me. You wrecked my childhood. Then you're feeling guilt and shame.
Or sometimes somebody says something and it triggers something in your past and you're like, you're just making me feel terrible.
Yeah.
But really, they're not.
No, because really, you're in charge of your emotions. So you need to then address those issues which you think are making you feel bad about what's that really about going on in your life so you can resolve that so people could say what they want. You're in control of your feelings.
You're the only one who can judge how you feel.
You ever hear somebody say this? When I have enough money, I won't be afraid of anything. I won't be afraid anymore. So they're saying, see, money causes them to feel okay if I had enough. Or someone may say like this, when I'm in a secure relationship, I won't feel lonely anymore. So what they're saying is their emotional state is predicated upon these external events and they don't work. You see what I'm saying? So like a new house, a new dress, a new job, these things make me feel better if I have them. And people often go out and strive for them. And in reality, they don't fulfill what you need. You see, so our feelings remain within us. We need to learn how to resolve these emotions, how to resolve them. And that's what we're going to try to help you do today.
In our research, one thing that we found here is that there's basically two emotions in life, and that is love and fear. So it's like all the other emotions are kind of a variation of those emotions. So thoughts and behaviors come either from a place of love or a place of fear. So anxiety, anger, control, sadness, depression, inadequacy, confusion, hurt, loneliness, guilt, and shame, those are all fear-based emotions. And emotions such as joy, happiness, caring, trust, compassion, truth, contentment, satisfaction, these are all love-based emotions. And there's varying degrees of intensity. So you have mild, moderate, and strong. For example, you know, anger is in a mild form, can be felt as disgust or dismay. In a moderate level, it can be felt as an offense or exasperated. And an intense level can be rage or hate. So, and the emotions that always underpine anger is fear. So we were talking about this a couple minutes ago. You cannot control your emotions. A lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to suppress that or I'm not going to feel that. You can't change or control your emotions. You can learn how to live with them, try to live peacefully with them. You can learn proper ways to release them, and you can learn to manage them, but you can't control them. So think of somebody, you know, who goes day after day seemingly to function normal, and all of a sudden they will explode in anger at something that seems really trivial or harmless. That is a sign that someone is trying to control or repress their emotions, and it's all leaking out because they're trying to squelch it, you know?
Yeah.
So people who are afraid to feel their feelings, they're afraid of losing control, afraid of the pain involved. I know a lot of times, you know, I try not to feel my feelings because I'm afraid. But then when I actually feel them, I'm like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. You know? We always say the addict is self-medicating.
Right.
Because they don't want to feel their emotions. They don't want to feel address life. They don't want to, you know, so they self-medicate. Well, in some ways, we're playing the same game.
We do the same thing.
Yeah, we're playing the same game. We don't want to feel our feelings, or we're feeling and we don't know how to handle them or resolve them.
Right.
And our addict chooses drugs. We don't.
Yeah,
and so we're strapped with it. Matter of fact, this goes back to one show we did a year ago that talked about those of us who don't use the drugs but go through the same issue with our feelings of not feeling them in a healthy way and how to resolve them and release them die earlier than the addict.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because of the physical impacts.
Yeah. I mean, so being strongly connected to your emotional life is really essential to living a life with high energy and a sense of fulfillment.
All right, so that's our opening charge. That's understanding emotions a little bit and giving you an idea. We'll now go on to our next section. How do we deal with our emotions and what are some common patterns? So here are a few common patterns that people use to deal with difficult emotions. Mm-hmm. So, we can look at and study and see that there's certain things people default to. Like, for instance, avoidance.
And none of them really work, right?
Well, I
or
guess
maybe
everything
for a minute.
Well, and there's everything to degrees. So there's avoidance.
Yeah.
All right, about my feelings. Let's see. When I was growing up, I really believed everything was always happy. As a child, you ever notice children are always, like a lot of them are happy.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, bubbly, their smiles. Okay. Basically, may not be in touch with our feelings to know that I have sadness or pain around us.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't deal with the source of our pain, it comes out in other ways, sometimes unhealthy ways. You see what I'm saying? Like we would binge on chocolate.
Absolutely.
Just let me go immerse myself in fantasy thinking.
Yeah.
Let me go watch TV.
Right.
Let me read a novel. And we kind of zone out. We avoid the emotion.
You're right.
By doing something. And then there's like what's called another pattern is called guarding. When we guard ourselves. A friend says something that upsets us, right? But we keep ourselves disappointment to ourselves, so we don't share it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're guarding our feelings. We're we're keeping them locked down.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Because I may be afraid that our friend's response to my feelings would be something that they may not endorse, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would feel vulnerable. So I'm guarding myself and I'm shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
But hiding these, you know, but by doing that, by suppressing them, shutting them down, they keep us from being authentic.
Definitely.
We're not real because what I'm presenting before you is one position, but inside I have something else going on
mm-hmm.
that's telling me the way I'm relating to an event or something going around me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we do is we do what we call judgment behavior patterns. So when we aren't feeling secure or comfortable about ourselves, we're more likely to pass judgment over everyone else.
Oh,
so it's like
a
defense mechanism, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not feeling, right now, I'm not feeling confident. That's the way I would put it. I'm not feeling confident right now.
Uh-huh.
For whatever reasons. My emotions are affecting me. I'm not confident.
So what do we do? Judge others then?
Yeah, because I go on the offensive.
Oh, I got you.
So if I attack you, I judge you, you see? For instance, let's put it this way. If I feel fat today,
All
right, we may be more inclined to focus on someone else's faults instead of acknowledging I have this feeling that I feel fat.
Yep.
And if you put it in with your addict, if I'm feeling I can't control and fix them, then I may become critical of other people because it gets it away from my feelings and thoughts my inability to change an addict's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So let me refocus off of myself to somebody else. Instead of being able to address, accept, or come to release my feelings regarding the addict.
It's very good. Yeah. So a lot of times when we're stuck in judging others, we might really want to pay attention to how we're feeling and what we might be putting ourselves down about.
Yeah. Am I avoiding my feelings? Am I guarding them, suppressing them?
Yeah.
Am I judging others and really being poor, aggressive about others? I'm a critical spirit, we call it.
And basically we're judging ourselves also by that.
We are.
Because we're projecting it.
We're projecting on somebody else because we're feeling so bad.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's anger. All right. So when we express anger, it makes us feel powerful, especially when we are feeling weak.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So anger is another little pattern that we use. So I'm going to be an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's judgmental person, critical.
Right.
Just, I could pick on everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't have to say it angrily. So I could just say it. You know,
right.
She's a jerk.
Yeah.
This one's an idiot.
Right.
You know, and then there's anger.
Right.
You know, and then I could be expressing anger. For instance, if a friend makes a joke at our expense, so
right.
they make fun of you at your expense, instead of just saying that joke hurt me,
right,
we may act aggressively and try to overpower that person in a relationship.
Then
I'm going to attack them, I'm going to blow them up, I'm going to beat them up verbally, emotionally.
That's why fights escalate, because anger is trying to get higher than the other anger.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're trying to reposition ourselves.
It's
all about our feelings.
Yeah.
Because I felt hurt. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other one, of course, is depression.
Yeah.
So, unable to deal with sadness. So, a lot of times, depression has to do with sadness. I can't deal with my sadness. It leads to depression. And then I become a depressed person, immobile, unable to work. So interesting, if you're very, very, very depressed, then you really got to look from the point of sadness, find out what's going on emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was saying that yesterday because, you know, yesterday was a year since our friend went to jail.
Right.
And
you were feeling sad.
And I told you I was really sad. I was depressed, you know. I mean, I'm glad a year's over, but, you know, remembering what happened a year ago. And so I had to watch out to not condemn myself for those feelings.
I know. You were actually trying not to feel, because I remember you were saying in the car, now I'm beating myself up because I felt them. What was that called?
It's secondary disturbance. And what secondary disturbance is, and it's important in this show, and is the fact that we have a feeling of sadness, anger, hurt, whatever. And we judge ourselves for having it.
In a negative way.
In a negative way. And then we try to talk ourselves out of it.
Yeah,
and
I shouldn't feel that way.
I
shouldn't feel that way. Oh, that's so wrong to think that.
And then you get stuck.
So what are you doing? You're not acknowledging your feelings.
No. And then you get stuck on, you know, judging your feelings instead of actually just letting your feel that.
So isn't that funny when you do that secondary disturbance? You have a feeling that you don't like, and so you go and you try to you beat yourself up and not own it. That means avoiding it.
Yep.
You're guarding it.
Yep.
You're suppressing it.
You're judging
yourself.
It all. Yep.
You get angry at yourself now because you had it. Wow, you're going through all of these just because you had a feeling.
So I let myself cry and let myself feel it.
And I was there. So all I did is said to her, go ahead. You got a right to cry.
Absolutely.
Go ahead,
then it passes through you. You know, so that's really important.
Very good. So anxiety is the last one that people use, is that, you know, avoiding our difficult emotions. It can result in anxiety because I don't want to address it. So now I'm constantly feeling anxious, but I'm not addressing the feelings that are behind the anxiety to find out how to resolve them, because then the anxiety would go away.
So what's an example of that? Like it says, you know, we try to control things in our environment. So does that mean, you know, we're feeling anxious about something and we go and try to clean our house or tidy up?
Or fix the attic. Yeah,
That's good.
So I'm anxious. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm having a difficult emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The difficult emotion I'm having, just what you just said, is allowing myself to feel my sadness about this situation.
Yeah.
So what do? I beat myself up, but I'm feeling anxious.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you're probably feeling anxious also because of everything you were feeling. I'm an anxious person.
Right,
I could see
you.
You weren't relaxed.
Yeah, no.
You see what I'm saying? So you're anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have a difficult emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid your addict's going to pass away or die.
Yeah.
So that is so high in stress that you become anxious. And you're walking around every day anxious. Where's my addict? What's going on today? Are they okay? I don't know if they're okay. What's going on? And you're really in this hyper state of anxiety, not knowing that I have these feelings of fear.
Yes.
That they're going to die.
Yes.
And so that feeling of fear
mm-hmm.
is overdriving me to become an anxious person. So we have to learn how to cope with those feelings, understand them, embrace them, and release them.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're going to talk as we go on. So, Kath, give me some examples of how we try to avoid these feelings. So these are some of the patterns tell us some of the examples of avoiding our emotions.
And some of this we've already touched on.
Yeah, so you just read some
ignoring
down,
right. our feelings. Oh, this is a good one. Pretend something hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
We overeat. We eat foods loaded with sugar and fat. How about excessive drinking of alcohol? Excessive use of recreational drugs, using prescription drugs such as tranquilizers or Prozac. How about exercising compulsively? You know, there's a lot of people. Any type of compulsive behavior, excessive sex with or without a partner, always keeping busy so you can't feel. That's a big one for A personality people.
Yeah.
Constantly intellectualizing or analyzing. We mentioned that. That's more like a robot. Excessive reading or TV. I know I have to watch myself with that. Working excessively.
Yeah.
Keeping conversation superficial.
Yep. Let's not be real. Let's not go into what's really feeling and happening.
Burying angry emotions under the mask of peace and love.
Sure.
And symptoms of repressed emotions. So, I mean, it really takes a lot of energy to keep emotions repressed. So I've experienced that a lot of times. So we're gonna now go into our spiritual section, which you're going to hear is my speaking at a Naranon meeting. I had the topic a couple weeks ago. And so I talked about an experience, and that's the experience of our friend in jail. And I talked about feelings, thoughts, and being in the present. And I felt like it fit really perfect in with this show and our next show. So we're going to go to that now.
Yep.
So let's see. Quite a few of you know a little bit about me, and some don't know anything about me. So I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a thought process here. I've been in recovery from past abuse issues and stuff for 20-some years. But I've had a lot of addicts in my life. Most of my addicts are all friends. Recovering friends. My one friend, Amy, I've known her since she was 15, and she's 45 now, and she's a recovering addict. So addicts kind of seem to come and go in my life. So I wanted to talk about feelings, thoughts, and being in the present, because that's what I've experienced a lot lately. So my husband likes to bring home people to work around our house when they're struggling. He just finds people, and if they're down on their luck, he brings them over. He pays them to help them around the house. We have an acre. There's always something to do. So he found Russell in 2012, a young 30-some-year-old recovering drug addict. And so Russell was working around our house. I mean, just a delightful, delightful guy. You know, had so much energy, really wanted to have recovery. He was great. We knew him for about 6 months. We met his mom, and we found out that she had a husband in jail, John, who was also in jail for drug-related offenses, and he was going to get out of jail in November. She wanted us to meet him eventually, too. So Russell would be good for a while until he'd get money, and then he'd go back on drugs. Then he'd be in halfway houses, detox, rehabs, living in hotels. He just wanted to make it, but just couldn't make it. He had so much potential, and he was just a great worker, but he just couldn't make it. So John gets out of jail in November, and 4 days into the new year of 2013, we got a phone call that Russell had overdosed and died. It was just so sad, so devastating. You know, he'd been in rehab and detoxed, and then he probably used too much or whatever he was used to using. And it was just really hard. So John had just gotten out of jail. We hadn't even met him yet. His wife loses her son. She invites Russ's wife to live with John and her. Russell's wife is using. John injures his arm. And he needs meds because he's in a lot of pain. I mean, he cut it like from this. He needs meds. So he's on meds, and he goes back to drugs because that's what they do. And so then, you know, in order to keep high, you do what you do. You do crimes and parole violations. And so we started to get to know John around the summer of 2013, before and after he goes to rehab. So he gets clean. He starts to help us around the house because, you know, my husband brings people around the house for us to help out. So, you know, I don't really know how to be around a recovering addict very much. I went, you know, a little bit with Amy, but Amy lives in Georgia. So that's when I found this meeting. And so I came here and met all of you lovely people and started to learn how to have compassion and love and not tell John what to do. But, you know, kind of just be with him, support him. And so John, Bill, and I became really good friends. I mean, really good friends. He started to work on various people's houses, remodeling kitchens, bathrooms, and started to do pretty well for himself. After a year, he moved out of the halfway house. He house sat for someone for 6 months, and during this time, he hung out with us quite a bit. So he starts to see a different way of life than he's never seen before. He catches a vision of what life could be like. You know, he told us he never saw people relate to each other the way Bill and I did and not fight all the time. So he was catching a different vision, a different way of life. You know, except for the fact that he had a parole violation and the crime that he did. So he knows he has to turn himself in at a certain point, but when? So he lived with us for 4 months preparing to finish his last job and then turn himself in. Well, because we helped John wanted to help a friend of his he knew from his past, which, you know, we all know that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't hang out around with people from your past. But he was working with Dave, having him help him. Come to find out, Dave was doing some things to get himself in trouble. The cops came to find Dave, and John was with him. And so, of course, they looked up John's record and found out that he had the parole violation and a crime. And so he goes back to jail. So over the past 10 months, he's been in 4 different jails and 1 prison. Well, how did I feel? What were my thoughts? Well, the program teaches us to not expect them to not use again. So I always knew he might relapse on drugs. But was he involved with whatever Dave did? Was he using again? Was everything a lie? How do I feel? Betrayed, hurt, loss of a friend, sadness because he was doing so well. You know, we always knew it would come to him having to deal with his past. So it took months of visiting and calls to figure it all out, to come to understand that he wasn't involved in what Dave did. He was still clean and his life was being changed by God. However, there's still consequences of hanging out with the wrong people. So court hearings, delays, visiting jail, I did what the program said I loved and had compassion. Well, that really hurts. He's 50 years old. How do I feel about him being in prison another 5 years or so? He did the crime, he has to pay the time. But for the first time in his life, he was doing something with his life, finding a passion, making other people happy with his house repairing, remodeling. So in 6 months, he was in 3 jails in New Jersey for evading a cop, traffic violations for 1992, really? And in December 28th, 2015, he finally gets taken to the PA jail to begin the parole violation and the crime that he did. He's happy. He's all clear now in New Jersey for the first time in his life. He's accepting his actions. He's ready for the next phase. He's ready to pay the consequences. He knows God is showing him a lot of favor. So he asks us to gather some letters for his court hearing in Bucks County. So we gather 14 letters or more, character references, all from people that he worked with, realtors, all these different people. I mean, they all said he was trustworthy, would hire him now in a second when he got out of prison, amazing talent. It would be a waste of time for him to be in prison. April 4th, we go to court with all the letters. Bill testifies. The judge says the letters and what Bill said was incredible. Like he'd never seen anything like it, and he really appreciates what Bill and I do to help people. However, John's past could not be overlooked. And so he's sentenced to 5 to 10 years with the time in New Jersey and Bucks County towards it. The judge was extremely torn, amazed John had never been offered drug court help before. The system failed. He still hasn't been offered drug rehab. He's 50, back to prison. Perhaps a reconsideration hearing to come, parole violation. hearing in June 10th. Well, what do I feel? What are my thoughts? Makes my head spin. Too many changes, too many jails, phone accounts to set up, transfer money from one to the other. I'm feeling extreme sadness, fear for him in jail. How does he feel? He's relieved. Everything is addressed. Slate clean, do the time now and get out forever with nothing hanging over his head. For him, it's relief after 2 years of knowing he's going back to prison. He's trusting God. He's letting go of control. He's doing better than I am. I feel scared, feel for sadness, upset, grief, loss. And then because I'm in the program, I feel there is something wrong with me for having all these feelings. The secondary emotions come up. I'm feeling upset because I'm upset. And now his sister Kelly and her boyfriend are now a part of our lives, both recovering addicts. And she's very, very sick. I was just at the hospital with her all day today. I care for her and I feel for her future. Okay, God, what do I do with all these feelings and thoughts? And why do you put these people in my life? Oh yeah, the program says to get in the present. Okay, I can accept today what I cannot accept for tomorrow. So I'm going to get back to my life. I'm going to detach with love. I'm going to stay connected, but I'm going to detach. That all sounds good, right? Yes, it is good. It's true. The program works if you work it. And with the program, we are still human. We all have good days. We have off days. We have days when this is just plain sucks. Life loving those struggling with a disease of addiction is not easy. But we have to get back to the present. Make a decision today to go with the obsessive thoughts and the what ifs and the fears and the loops. Or are we going to get back to the present and trust? So we're back to surrender, powerlessness, realizing that our higher power is in control and loves us and those we love more than we do. He knows what is best for John and his path. He knows what is best for Kelly to live or not. God will give me the comfort and ability to deal with all these feelings and thoughts one day at a time, as long as I stay in the present. Will it be easy? Some days, yeah. Some days, no. That's part of the process. It doesn't make not being easy good or bad. It just is. This is part of my learning to live the steps and lessons God wants me to learn by placing these people in my life. They are my teachers as I show them what I've experienced. So needless to say, it's been a very hard 10 months of my life. And just a side note, on the way over here, I got a phone call from my husband that he fell off a ladder. And he was working with the gutter, and he had the gutters tied up on the roof with cinder blocks. And he fell off the ladder, pulled the gutter down, and the cinder block came down and hit him in the arm. So now he's at the emergency room getting that checked out. So it's not been an easy 10 months, and yet I've learned so much about me, my assets and my liabilities, and the things I say to myself and others from the head knowledge. And now I'm having to learn it all from the heart through experiences. Powerlessness, believing God can restore sanity, turning my will over. Well, that's a process each day, and there are a lot of days I just plain still want my will. I don't want John in prison, and I don't want Kelly to be sick. So back to powerlessness and turning it over daily, sometimes a minute at a time. But I thank God for this program and all of you, because I would not have been equipped or supported to deal with all of this if it wasn't for the tools of the program. So I just want to tell you all to be kind to yourself. Accept the feelings and thoughts, and you can change the channel of your thoughts if they're taking you in a place where they shouldn't go. And remember, you're human. Nothing happens in our lives that isn't here for us to learn from. Don't judge your feelings and think you aren't doing the program right. Don't put yourself down for mistakes made. I got that, Carl. Mistakes are a part of being human. We just learn from them all. One day at a time, be in the present. And you know what? We all have to realize we're not God. We're not in control. And really, that is a good thing. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, Kath, thank you for that spiritual section. And that's interesting how your feelings, thoughts, and trying to stay present and how you worked it. And matter of fact, that's what we're going into our next section about. How do we work it like you did, and how you went through that process. And so, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, identifying your emotions, which you kind of said in that spiritual section, but talk to us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of ways to identify your emotions, and a lot of times you have to, you know, pick what method works good for you. Like, I'm definitely a writer.
Okay.
So I write a lot of my stuff. So
I'm not a writer. I'm a thinker.
Right.
So I got to self-reflect think through.
And plus you may process your feelings with people. I do too. But I write, you know. So
she writes. I'm a thinker and I process with people. I like to bounce my thoughts, feelings off of people, get back.
Yeah.
So there's different ways you could do this.
Exactly.
But you need to be aware of it and you got to be careful because a lot of times we default to not wanting to do it and address it.
We get lazy.
Or afraid. You don't want to address it.
It gets built upon each other and, you know.
You got to take the time to do it.
It's like I said in my spiritual, you know, you really end up fearing the feelings where if you felt them, you would get past them and resolve them.
Yep.
So we're going to have some methods here that you can identify your feelings. And really what we just said was awareness is really the first step.
Yeah, being aware.
You got to be aware that you have
feelings. What
am I really feeling? Yeah, and just be present and think about what you're feeling. So one of them are, like, what if you have a bunch of memories that don't seem to go away?
Or feelings,
particular situations or hurts that happened a while ago that you may have repressed them. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to need to pull that situation and really feel the hurt because you're stuck. You're stuck in that. You're not feeling it. You're not finishing
it. So it's like you got to bring that memory back up.
Yes, you do.
And kind of like go through it. Like you said, you may write it out.
Yes.
So this is what happened 3.5 years ago.
Absolutely.
You know, so-and-so said this or did this. And now that I remember, I felt this way.
Correct.
And there's the important part is to be able to identify that and to get it back up so that you can feel that pain again.
Yes.
So that it can be released.
Because, you know, the problem with society is a lot of times people get told, that's in the past, just let it go. Well, it happened in the past, but you're still affected by it now. So you really do have to re-feel that.
Yeah, and these are for feelings that you haven't been able to let go.
You don't have to go back and find stuff.
Everything that ever happened to you in your life.
Stuff that you know what's there.
Yeah.
You know, so try documenting them in whatever way that works. Maybe just sharing it with another person. Forgiveness can only happen after we own and release our feelings. So, you know, a lot of people said, well, I forgive you, but they really didn't address
because,
it.
Yeah, because you're prematurely jumping to the end.
There's no shortcut.
No, I forgive them. Let me go on. No, I could tell you don't forgive them because the way you even said that. I forgive them. You know, there's just so much anger behind that. There's so much hurt and pain behind that.
Yeah.
So don't jump. Don't premature jump to saying it's okay.
Yeah.
That was earlier. We identified avoiding, repressing, guarding. Yeah. So that's very good. So as you're saying, so we want to be able to write them down because for some, as you were saying, writing down makes it harder for us to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for certain people who forget easily, you know, to write it down. Also, to write it is a physical part of your body with your hand moving and a brain synced up together. You could get the details out. You could feel it. Remember, you want to go back and feel, you know, what happened to you. So
yeah, I just thought of another way to record your feelings also. You know, we all have phones and iPads and everything. If you want to just talk into your recorder to just get it out.
Yeah.
And then re-listen to it.
You could type a text to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because we're talking writing down. You could get specific and make it as much detail as you want, but you don't have to. You could do lists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this happened,
this is said.
You know, kind of make it like little bullets, whatever it takes for you. But the point is, you need to dig deep to feel the feelings that were associated with the event.
Yeah, I'm a definite journaler. And last night I journaled about my feelings about my friend being in prison, our friend being in prison for a year. And I realized as I expressed the sadness and the unknowns, you know, about how long and where he's going to get moved to, then I saw myself move into the next place of being grateful for what I've had you know, over the last year, you know, the visits and the phone right. calls. So it's like it helped me come to feel them, but then resolve and move and realize I don't have control over a lot that I'm concerned about.
Yeah. And what I'm thinking about is what we're looking at here to be able to release our feelings and to heal them is to be able to accept them.
Definitely.
You see? So I need to be able to accept that I felt hurt. Definitely. Remember we talked about earlier about repressing them?
Yes, and the secondary disturbance that we're upset that we have feelings.
Matter of fact, you were going to give an example of these hurts and addressing them.
Correct. Like sometimes, Bill, when we're talking with other people and I'm expressing something and maybe giving a little detail, what I see you do is you kind of like shrug it off and act as if that's not important. And then I feel invalidated and I feel like what you want to say is more important than what I want to say.
Yeah, so my conversation is kind of dismissive. I dismiss your concept or thought on that. So you're sharing your opinion.
Yeah.
I trounce it, trump it, and come across as dismissive, like, yeah, no. And then, you know, I may even say something like that. Yeah, no. Exactly. And then I go on to what I think is my opinion, and I say it in a more forceful, stronger way.
Yes. And then later on, you know, I might not tell him during the conversation because I don't want to embarrass him in front of people. But later on, I'll say, honey, you know, you trounced over me there, and I don't really like and appreciate when you do that. And could you be a little bit more...
Yeah, but what was happening? What told you that...
Oh, I felt dismissed. I felt invalidated. I felt unimportant. So there's the feelings that I felt.
So you were feeling things, see? Yes. So in that conversation, she felt something by the way I came across. And I'm not malicious. I don't hate my wife. I don't want to hurt my wife. But who I am in my character, the way I present things, come across and did that to her, and she felt hurt.
That's correct.
Now, the good thing is, because we have grown over the years to address our feelings, at least my wife, who's the master of it, she was able to quickly identify it and quickly address it. She may come up and shed a tear. She may be hurt about it. You know, that you hurt me because you dismissed me, put me down. And again, by God's grace and my recovery, I'm able to own it and say, you know, you're right. My apologies, and I go on. So here she felt her feelings. Mm-hmm. She had to readdress them. You see, she had to bring them back up, say, you did this, and this is how I felt about it.
That's right.
If you have somebody healthy on the other side, like myself, who could say, you're right, my apologies, I shouldn't have trounced you. Your thoughts were legitimate. They're your thoughts. Mine may be different, but mine are more important than yours.
Exactly.
So this is what we're trying to get you to do by writing, by looking, you know, at your feelings, by feeling your feelings and documenting them and writing them down. That's what we're trying to do. So write them all out. And the more that you can write them and feel them and accept them, mm-hmm. these are your feelings. Mm-hmm. Don't remember that whole list before
because
about
I
not
could've,
avoiding
I
them, guarding.
Yeah, I could have, you know, I could have negated my feelings of feeling invalidated.
Yeah.
You know,
you could try to dismiss them, suppress them, avoid them.
But then I probably wouldn't relate to you well because I think
Well, no, here's what's
going to
happen. It's going to be in the background in our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So our relationship's not going
to
be as open, as intimate as it was because you'll be afraid to talk. So you see how it affects? And we're doing this with our addicts. We're doing this with people we work with. We do it with our loved ones. We do it with many, 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 many people. Mm-hmm. But so you have to be specific. So if you're writing about them, making lists, talking them out with somebody, you need to be specific about them, your emotions and your experiences. You just can't turn around and say, I'm depressed. No. What are you depressed about?
What is that?
You know,
that?
You got to identify the situation that created this depressed feeling.
Correct.
You see? I can't say, I'm mad. I'm just mad. No. What are you mad about? Well, they said this and this happened here.
Yes.
Or, you know, I'm jealous of this person, right? You know, so on. So you have to be specific and be able to
identify
that.
That's really important.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really important. So that's exactly what we're saying is to identify the little and unimportant hurts because the ones that really somehow don't go away.
Yeah, that's what
The ones that don't go away. So what if I have that conversation or that happens a couple of times with you and I don't address it with you? then, you know, when we're with people, I'm going to stop talking because stop I'm going to feel like I'm unimportant. So, yeah. So make sure you pay attention to the little and unimportant, what you think are unimportant hurts.
No, what's coming up for me right now, what I'm thinking about is how much of this baggage are we carrying?
Yeah.
You know, people carry, you know, they had an exchange with their husband or wife. They had this exchange with their child. They had an exchange with their addict.
You're right.
And they suppress them. They avoid them. All those lists that we went through earlier.
Yeah.
And they're not being addressed. So there's issues between them. And that's why we walk around life with a chip on our shoulder, anger in our back pocket.
Correct.
And yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So another thing that we need to do is possibly record our strong feelings for a couple of months. You know, regardless of what caused them, you know, if you're upset at the weather, the traffic, your husband, your wife, your children, politics, stock markets, fellow church members, whatever and whoever, add it to your list. Think, you know, just whatever your strong feelings are.
I like that.
Try to identify them. You know, sadness is
You know,
is
you don't have to go a couple months. What if, here's a little work assignment.
Uh-huh.
What if for the next week you try to track your emotions throughout the next week, all the time.
Yeah.
So get up in the morning, how am I feeling? Write it down. I'm feeling
this. Oh, that's good.
And then if you have time, why am I feeling that? If not, you're going to come back later and do it. Now you get to work. And I start my work. And next thing you know, I'm feeling what? Angry, mad, sad, anxious, rambunctious.
Write it down.
What just happened that made me feel that way? Now you're at lunchtime and you feel another thing. What's the feeling I feel now at lunchtime?
Mm-hmm.
When I feel when I'm going home. When I feel when I get home. What about when you feel when you're approaching your house? This is a big one. I've always had this. What happens when what are you feeling as you're pulling up in the driveway?
Mm-hmm.
Track that one.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Throughout the night. Do that for a week. Write them down and then say, wow, look at all of these emotions I'm having and how many of them are generating baggage, what we're talking about here, unresolved.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said something at work. Your husband said something. I had anxious coming home to get in the door because I knew what? That my addict would be home and they would probably be acting out. So I feel anxious every night I come home from work. And therefore, I'm eating cupcakes every time I come in the front door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Write the strong feelings down.
Because sometimes sadness is a mask for anger, or anger is a mask for sadness.
Yeah.
You know, anger is a mask for fear. If you can identify your real fears, you know, what are you afraid of losing or not having? You know, then you're really on your way to emotional
health. Yeah, so what you're saying is even when you feel certain feelings, you're writing down these feelings.
Yeah.
As you evaluate them, you know, ask yourself, challenge yourself. So, you know, if I'm feeling anger, what's really beneath that anger?
Exactly.
What am I really feeling anger about? Because anger itself is telling you something. You were, you know, violated or scared or something or whatever, of losing or something or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's go on to the next section. All right, Kath, let's talk about how do we finally, like, release them. We talked all kinds of times about understanding them, what are common patterns about them. We talked about your spiritual story you gave us, how to identify our emotions, and now let's talk about how to release them. So once we identify them now, we have them in hand. I know you hurt me, like you just gave your example.
Yeah.
Or I know this person did this.
Right.
Now what do we do with them?
So we've talked about this before. Don't be afraid of them, and don't fight them or run away or block them out. Welcome them.
Yeah.
That's like something we don't often do.
No, for some reason we're ashamed. Like you said, you want to like ignore them,
minimize
them,
go
away.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable with having sadness, or like I'm judging myself or feel like you'll judge me or something. So welcome them, and you know, regardless of what they are, we're born with emotions. That's what makes us human.
Yeah.
They're not good or bad. They just are. And they dissipate and slowly disappear if you feel them. And, you know, and are present with them. Because tomorrow you're going to feel something different. So just be
It's almost like you've got to be able to sit with them.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling sad, then sit with sadness.
Then let yourself feel sad.
Yeah.
It's really hard. So, but we're also going to start to talk about how to respond, because some of these emotions need to be expressed with a physical, you know, release or something. So you're going to need some time to decide how to process that.
Yeah, and how
so,
to
So, Bill,
to
you have some
it.
Questions you want to go over here, you know, about when we're...
Yeah, because there's different ways you can respond to the feeling.
Yeah.
Mentally, emotionally... And physically.
That's right.
And they're going to affect your ability to release them. So first of all, we said feel them.
Yeah.
Feel your feelings.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, here's a question. Am I reacting to this situation Or is this reaction partially in reaction to a past situation?
That's very important.
Yeah, because see, those, some of us...
Some triggers happen.
Triggers, they're
There's
called triggers.
There's a person that I, you know, deal with who really triggers me, and it's about my past, and I don't know how to separate the present from the past, so I have to feel both sides and then figure out how to take care of myself.
Yeah, and to be able to... you may have to set healthy boundaries, even though that person doesn't mean any harm to you like the person in the past might have.
That's correct.
But it's still a trigger.
That's a trigger.
Yeah,
yep.
And you need to be aware of it.
Yep.
So am I reacting to this situation that Bill talked to me mean and nasty, or am I reacting to some past history?
Mm-hmm.
Am I able to discuss the issue with the person in a way that isn't just venting anger or totally...
To be
able to address it with the person. Can I? Because some people aren't approachable.
That's right.
Some people you're not. You may have to go address it with a friend.
That's right.
Kath, let me tell you what happened today.
Yeah.
Because this person would not be able to hear me.
Right.
If I went and addressed it to him. But
yep.
I still want to say, can I discuss it with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Will I be able to talk to that person about how I feel?
Right.
That's the whole point.
Right.
Not just you did this to me.
Yeah.
Put it in the terms of you said this. And it hurt me because.
Right.
Let me define that because. Don't let me just leave it at hurt.
That's right.
I'm just hurt.
Right. Well,
what hurt? Like you said, Bill, feel less than, you dismissed me, I feel less valuable, you felt like you didn't validate me.
Exactly.
So you said this, I feel less than non-validated by the way you did that.
Right.
I'm saying I feel that way.
Right.
They're your feelings.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel this way. It doesn't, you know, you can get into an argument, so you don't need to get an argument person about it, because they may say, "Oh, I didn't intend to hurt you."
Right.
I understand.
Right.
I'm just sharing how I feel about it, and I just need to be able to share that with you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a direct confrontation is not going to work.
Right. No.
You know. Then the other thought is what are your expectations?
Mm.
So you're going to address this issue, your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
What do I expect from this? Are my expectations realistic?
Right. Many times when you share something with somebody else, you really need to just do it for you. Like, I was hurt by somebody. Somebody said something to me a while back, and I was really hurt by what that person said. And she talked out of turn because she didn't really know what my life story was. And I really just had to confront her to take my power back.
Right.
And say, you know, this wasn't appropriate. And it was good for me because she owned it. But
right.
Sometimes you're just going to do it because you need to...
To get it out.
To get it out. And
their
response, that's
this expectation. Their response may not be the most favorable.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm sharing this because I need to get it out.
That's right.
Because, you know, this is how I'm feeling, what you said.
That's right.
So you got to watch your expectations. And are they realistic or not?
Yeah.
Again, if you're somebody like me, your husband, and you... then because we know where we're at with each other, we could do this work through it. We understand ownership and so on.
Yeah,
so we're able to
do
it.
With a lot of practice.
There may be people who don't understand that. So you're going to share, but you got to be, you know, temper your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here are some physical things you could do to help release some of your feelings, a lot of your anger. So you can actually go in an empty room or go on a drive and just scream.
Yeah, get it out.
You know, scream, I hate her, I'm upset, or I'm angry. Just scream.
Yeah.
You know, just let it out.
I did is I had my wife and her girlfriend.
Oh, this was so good.
We erected a 4x8 foot board, plywood.
Yeah.
Leaned it against a back wall somewhere, and I bought like 3 dozen eggs.
And we drew people on it.
And then I had them throw the egg, yell and out why they were throwing the egg.
They just couldn't
throw the egg just for anger purposes. They actually had to...
Say something.
You know, boom, I throw the egg. I you know, I hate you for taking away my childhood.
Childhood, yeah.
I throw the egg. I hate you for what it did to our family by destroying our family.
Yeah.
I'm mad, I'm sad, and you just pound it, and you're thrown, and it's a physical release.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing because you feel it from, like, your inside, and then it goes out through your arm and out through your hand, and you release it.
Release it, so you got
and,
that,
and
yeah.
And we both ended up crying afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we got through the anger part, And we got to the sadness and the pain.
Exactly. And you felt that. You didn't inhibit it, and you just let it come out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yep. if you can't scream out loud, you know, imagine yourself screaming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're a physical person, take a pillow and keep hitting a chair, your bed, something. You know, just say, I hate, or I'm frustrated. You know, just get that out.
Yeah, for this reason, because of this, because of that, because
yeah.
I want to be loved and I'm not loved, or this person hurt me and I wanted them to love me and they don't. You know, my addict can't be there the way I want to. I'm angry, I'm hurt. And get yourself to cry over that, or to be angry over that.
Absolutely.
And feel that.
What about my troll doll years ago?
Yeah,
I had a troll doll, and I've never liked troll dolls. So I had a troll doll around my house, and whenever I was angry, I would throw it, I would bang it across the chair, bang it on the floor, and
you
know,
express
my feelings. I would stick it underneath the chair leg.
Yeah, so when you go to bed at night, when you went to bed at night, she put the troll's head under a chair leg and leave it there all night.
And it just made me feel so happy.
Yeah, because she was giving back to that person who really
hurt her,
giving that pain a voice or a symbolic gesture that releases that pain.
Absolutely. And what about the time the head fell off? That only made me all the more happy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was great.
And what I'm thinking in closing here is that you can, so we talked about a lot of different stuff here, which are questions to ask, physical work you can do. And now what I want to say is when you could write a letter to the person who hurt you.
We've done that too.
Write it out, your emotions, your feelings. You don't have to give it to them.
No.
You can if you want, but you don't have to. You could burn it.
Mm-hmm.
You could throw it in a lake.
I threw it in lake with rocks on it, remember?
Right. So this has helped you figure out how to release your anger, how to feel your feelings. A couple last thoughts here is if you have excess stress in your life, that will cause unhealthy statements and interactions. So you could actually be offending people because you've overloaded your
work. Yeah, you put too much on.
Yeah, so you got to be careful about how you express yourself to people.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to get them out. So in closing, I just want to say this. Be aware of your feelings. Let them be there. Don't be afraid to feel them. You know, don't let them just immobilize you and take over you, but work on resolving them and let them go, or else you're going to find yourself physically ill or depressed. I hope that you've enjoyed tonight's show, and we'll look forward to talking to you next month. This is Bill, and this is Kathy.
Have a good day or night or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.